So I wanted to reflect, share some reflections on happiness. Feels like it's something that I won't say it's thin. At the same time, feels like it's something that we can nourish and really maybe have a little more intention toward. And that with that intention, maybe it would bring it forward more, maybe even help us recognize maybe when there's an opportunity for happiness, that we get to maybe we choose happiness because we've been more in reflection on happiness. And so sometimes just the remembering, intending happiness at the beginning of our day, it sets us with that direction. And maybe when something comes up and there's one path that may lead us maybe not so much into happiness, maybe one that may lead us into happiness, we choose that one. And I mean something as simple as taking a break. You know, that's we don't have to go deep and all that. It's the daily awareness of our practice and choice. And so, you know, at that time when you have 5 minutes or 10 minutes or 15 minutes, and you can choose to do something to fill that time. And I think you understand what I'm saying. What do we choose to fill that time with? Is it another task? Is it a distraction? Getting on the phone, on the computer, whatever we do, texting, eating. And in that moment, we get to choose and remember what is happiness? Am I doing this to fulfill my happiness, to manifest the happiness? And just like that, we become the manifester of our destiny right there. And this is the way we understand the teachings. It's we don't have to wait till the end of this long road of practice. And we're a certain age and certain number of years of practice that we achieve the goal, right? This is one of the beauties of our tradition, actually, right? Thay always teaches that happiness is here and now, right? It's right there. It's in the words of the songs in our tradition, a Plumville tradition, they're Dharma talks. I hope you all know that. So when we sing our songs, we're singing the teachings, and they're reminding us of our practice. And so the song, Happiness is Here and Now, won't make you suffer listening to me sing it. I have lost, right? My worries, nowhere to go, nothing to do, nowhere need to hurry, right? So that's it. That's happiness right there. I don't need to worry. And yet, we make happiness this huge task. We build up stories. We plan vacations to get us to happiness. When I get 2 days off, I'll be happy. When after the end of my day of work, I'll be happy. After I do the things I have to do, I'll have that time to be happy. And there's this way that we've taken happiness out of our everyday activities. And so this is what coming home to happiness means, is it's always here and available for us in this moment, any moment, right? Any moment we can be happy. That's the beauty of mindfulness in daily life. It's being able to do that. Not to wait till the whole day's done. By that time, you're exhausted. So, you know, at that time, you're like, who's got time for happiness? I just need to sleep. And I know you know exactly what I'm saying. And so the practice is to, within that moment of choice, which we actually have every moment, we're in choice. You know how you'll hear some teachers say, you're in choice. What, you know, what does that mean? It means that every moment you can be in choice if you remember that. And when that means you're in choice, it means, what am I choosing in this moment? And even as we're doing something that seems like it's not something that can bring happiness, in the midst of spaces that we feel that there could be no happiness. And this is where, you know, it gets sticky for us sometimes. In moments and places where it feels there should be no happiness, we still have a choice. We can still choose happiness. This is the teachings. This is the liberatory path. And so what is it that prevents us? Or what has been training our minds to make us feel that is not accessible, is not possible? So I wanted to share from the Dhammapada. This is the Pali Dhammapada. There's a chapter on happiness, of course. And I'll just share four of the verses. While in the midst of those who hate, to dwell free from hating is happiness indeed. While in the midst of those who are troubled, to dwell untroubled is happiness indeed. While in the midst of those who are greedy, to dwell free from greed is happiness indeed. We dwell happily, free from anxiety, like radiant beings in celestial realms. We rejoice in delight. I'm going to read those again. While in the midst of those who hate, to dwell free from hating is happiness indeed. So the teaching is very clear in that verse, right? So the question might be, how can I be happy when I'm in the midst of around people who are hating? And so the remedy is there. It says to dwell free from hating. So in a space where there is hate going on, so that could be in a place where I'm being hated, like, right, as a person of color. I walk in spaces where white people don't understand racism, or maybe understand it. We always give the option of not knowing. And I could feel, sometimes I feel that hatred. Don't want me there, shut them out. And so I could hate back. And I have hated back. And yet, the remedy for happiness in that moment is to dwell free from hating. That's what the teaching is saying. Now, it's all beautiful words and everything, right? And it's really hard because in that moment, if I'm feeling something that's hurting me, what's our natural instinct? Unfortunately, is to hurt back for many, many of us. And the teachings tell us that that is not our path of happiness. That's it. And I say that's all good and great because it's a path, meaning we really need to understand where we're heading so that the next time we're in a place where we're feeling, as it says, in the midst of hatred, what are you going to do? Are you going to hate back? Because in that moment when you hate back, you are not in happiness anymore. And so in this way, we control our happiness. In this way, we are in choice. That's what it means to be in choice. Now, you might say that that's not true. What are you talking about? Because that person took my choice away from me. And I would suggest, is that really true? Because the way I engage and I respond, that's where I take back my power, my autonomy. I don't just respond in this reactive mode that, yeah, I've been trained to. I've grown up around people and this is what you do. People hurt, you hurt back, right? Now, I'm not saying everyone I've been around did that. And yet so many of us have not found this liberatory path that we've been around, all of us, that the secondary nature that we have learned in the different places we've been brought up and we've been is to do that, just that. Because I dare say if we did the opposite, it wouldn't continue, right? Because hatred is an energy, yeah? So the hatred energy comes at me, and now how am I engaging with that energy? Am I going to bring it, you know, think of hatred as one particular wavelength of energy, right? Because that's really what it is. It's energy. Everything's energy. Words, thoughts, actions, energy. Forms energy, right? So hatred comes at me. Now, do I come back to hatred with the same wavelength, the same with energy? And so that continues? Or do I not come back? Do I come back with something else? Now, I'm not saying we got to get love right there. Now, you know, this is a path, baby steps, y'all, baby steps. And sometimes baby step is just not stepping, which means there's a non-reaction or non-responsiveness to that. Maybe it's a turning away, you know, maybe it's a going for a walk. Maybe it's coming back to body and breath. Maybe it's remembering how wonderful I am because I have that depth of groundedness. Maybe I'm remembering something beautiful that was said to me that waters my seed of joy and happiness, that can hold that person's ignorance and hatred. Right? And so what is it that we need to nurture in our daily lives so that in the midst of hatred, we do not hate? Because that's what makes us happy. And so it's a practice, right? Because we are used to simply responding, you know, to that initial force against us. But if we're really going to change what's out there in the cosmos, right? Do we build up on the same energy and just, you know, enforce that energetic wavelength of anger? Or do we come with stillness? Do we come with pause? Do we come with love? Do we come with patience? Do we come with a knowing that this is an ignorant person? And so the energy is not continued. And you know this, the teaching, nothing can continue to exist if it's not fed. And this, so if we don't feed that energy of hatred, and if that person continues to meet people that doesn't feed that energy, at some point that energy will end. It may not end with me, clearly. And it may not end with the next person that this person sees that they think is inferior or beneath them and doesn't require their presence. And yet we know that if you don't feed something, it can't grow. This is the depth of the Dharma. You know, these words and these teachings, they're not just nice theory. There are practices. There are teachings that we need to take up and practice with. And we need to bring them into the most difficult situations, and we need to bring them into the small, what you think is insignificant situations. So I just gave you one that's like pretty real, right? Like one of the hard ones, racism and the hatred that comes from white supremacy and colonization, settler colonization, imperialism. It's a hard one, right? And it's not one, it's like, it's a system. And so even if I engage with one person bringing that hatred toward me, I also know there's a system that this person is coming out of and being reinforced by that's feeding that. And so sometimes we can be overwhelmed and think, what is that? What does one non-hatred moment do in this whole thing? And yet it's every drop, right? If every single one of us responded differently to someone who hates us, based on ignorance, based on greed, based on delusion and aversion, it adds up, right? And someone in our lives see us respond in this different way, and they take note. Because you see, we learned how to respond by noticing someone else in our environment responding in a similar way. And we took note. And so it's like that. What do we want people to take note of? What do we want to change in the next generations of people around us? Do we want them to see us responding in the midst of hatred with hatred? I don't think so. And yet that is the task at hand right now, actually. We are in a society now that is very challenged. And these behaviors of hatred and greed and aversion are rampant. And so in these times, how do we decide that our path of happiness cannot be derailed? You know, it's like, wow, we're in chaotic times now, y'all. Happiness, got to put that aside and take care of these things. Well, no, it doesn't work that way. I'm an activist, so I can't deal with happiness right now. That's got to do that when we got peace. And that's exactly what we do in a lot of justice spaces. We don't have time for happiness, we say. And yet, the work that we're about is supposedly about peace and justice. And we don't sometimes have time for that peace part of the justice work. And we choose how we're going to respond. Right? And so this teaching, while in the midst of those who hate, to dwell free from hating is happiness indeed. This is our dharma. And you can put any word you want in there. I mean, these give us a couple, right? While in the midst of those who are troubled, to dwell untroubled is happiness indeed. Now, that doesn't mean someone is grieving the loss of someone or there's some loss, that you're going to sit there and start dancing and, you know. No, it means there's a way we can empathize without going into that space, because that person actually needs someone to help them come out of that space of despair. And so if we all go around despairing because we think we're offering something beneficial, what do you have? You have a whole collective energy of despair. And so when someone is troubled and we offer sometimes a listening ear, an open heart, there's a way we can empathize and sympathize without getting pulled into that space with them. Because that is not helping them. Again, it comes back, it's about energy again, right? It's, you know, the person is in trouble and they're grieving and despair. And we come back with grieving and that same despair, it magnifies it. And it grows it. And so we bring our practice, you know, we can hold that. We are grounded, right? We can bring happiness forward. And no, the person isn't going to become happy right there. And that's not really the intention either. The intention is to remain a grounded presence, solid presence, so that that energy of despair isn't overwhelming the person and others around them. So there's balance. So the person has another energy and like the antidote, so they can slowly come out of that energy of despair. So you can put the different, right? The other one is those while in the midst of those who are greedy, to dwell free from greed is happiness indeed. So it's the same thing. Our happiness is dependent on what we choose. And the greed one, it's a big one. I mean, because that I would suggest that we live in a society of greed. I don't care which country. We live in a society of consumption. I mean, we are about consumption. And consumption is driven by something. It's desire. And the desire gets, you know, it's we can't have a little bit, we want more. And then there's greed and we get attached, and attachment leads to more. And so again, are we continuing to grow that energy of greed, or do we bring something different? Do we have a sense of sufficiency in ourselves enough that we can bring something different there into that space? So happiness, right? Back to the happiness. It's our choice. We're on a path of happiness. This is a path of happiness. And it's not something that comes at the end of a whole lot of work or taking a course on the art of happiness. I mean, that's great too. Like, yes, everything to bring it forward and elaborate, that's great. And still, just in the everyday mundane way that we respond to things that happen is where we will find our happiness. It's right here, it's right now. So I will stop here and invite a bell for us to share. Thank you for listening.